भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 गजेंद्रस प्रेयर्स ऑफ सरेंडर टेक्स्ट 22। यस्य ब्रह्मादयो देवा वेदालोकाश्चराचर नामरूपविभेदेन फलगया च कलया कृतः। यस बशल प्रभुपाद, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड क्रिएट्स हिज माइनर पार्ट्स एंड पार्सल्स द जीवतत्व बिगिनिंग विथ लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा द डेमिगॉड्स and the expansions of Vedic knowledge, Sam, Rug, Yadur and Atharva, and including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics. As the spark of a fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge into Him. He is neither demigod nor demon, neither human nor bird or beast. He is not woman, man or neuter, nor is He an animal. He is not a material quality, a fruitive activity, a manifestation or non-manifestation. He is the last word in the discrimination of the of not this, not this, and He is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. This is a summary description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited potency. The Supreme One is acting in different phases of manifesting His parts and parcels, which are all simultaneously differently situated by His different potencies. Parasya Saktir Vividaiva Shruyate. Each and every potency is acting quite naturally, Subhaviki Jnana Vala Kriyacha. Therefore, the Lord is unlimited. Natat Samas Cha Vyadhika Avi Cha Vyadhikas Chadrishyate. Nothing is equal to Him, nor is anything greater than Him. Although He manifests Himself in so many ways, personally He has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. For everything is done by expansion of His unlimited energies. Om Hare Krishna. The blessing and permission of all assembled Vaishnavas, I would like to speak something on this verse. Basically, this verse, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, says, Prabhupada says, this is a summary description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited potency. So, in this verse, there are three aspects that are discussed. Gajendra is glorifying Lord, and he's pointing out the three different aspects of transcendental knowledge. First is the living entities. Second is the material nature. Third is the Supreme Lord Himself. So he says all the living entities, ranging from demigods to demons, including plants, trees, everything is emanating from the Lord. That is the Jiva Tattva, or living entities. We know in Bhagavad Gita it is very nicely explained many places how living entities are energy of the Lord. In the 7th chapter it is there. Krishna says how this material world is made up of basically earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, ego, intelligence, 8 elements, which is matter, comprising His inferior potency, and the superior potency is, He says, the living entities. Then He explains there is super soul. In the 15th chapter it is there, super soul is there, and above them Bhagavan. So like that in Gita everything is explained very nicely. And Lord says that Jiva is part and parcel. Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So Gajendra is pointing this fact that how the Jiva Tattva, his minor parts and parcels, beginning with Lord Brahma, the demigods and the expansions of Vedic knowledge, including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics, all emanate from the Lord. So that means he is saying that this all 8.4 lakhs of species are basically emanating from the Supreme Lord. Then he says the material nature, very nice analogy he gives, are the sparks of the fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again. The mind, intelligence, senses, gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of the different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge into Him. So this whole creation, material creation, like we know Mahavishnu is lying, and from his, while he breathes out, all these innumerable universes is coming out of his body. Just like when, like living entity like us, we breathe out, many bacteria come out. And when you breathe in, the bacteria goes inside. We suck it back. So like the Lord breathes out universes, when he breathes in, he sucks everything back into his body. The analogy is given how the fire is there. Sometimes you see the some sparks come out of the fire, again fall back to it. Or you see sometimes these sunshine, these small particles, they appear to come, again they appear to go backwards also. You have observed this kind of thing. So that's kind of analogy Gajendra is giving, that how the material creation is emanating from the Lord, again merging back to Him. And then he goes on to explain the Lord Himself. What he says? He is saying very nicely. He says he is neither a demigod nor a demon. Now he has explained all 8.4 species. Now he is explaining the Supreme Lord. He says he is neither a demigod nor a demon. Neither human nor bird or beast. He is not woman, man or neuter. Nor he is an animal, because Gajendra is an animal species. He is not a material quality or fruitive activity, a manifestation or non-manifestation. Just like the universal material world is manifestation and unmanifestations. But demigods, human beings being a living entity, jiva, they're eternal, but the Lord is not that. Lord is neither demigod, nor man, nor woman, nor doesn't belong to any sex. So, again he says, he is the last word in the discrimination of not this, neiti, neiti. So the Sankhya philosophers, they try to find out what is the truth by examining everything. They first examine something, they say, this is not the truth. Then examine another thing, this is not the truth. When they go on doing like that, when they reach Krishna, then they cannot say anymore, not this. They have to say, this is it. That is the end. So that's what Gajendra is saying. He is the last word in the discrimination of not this, and he is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, and Srila Prabhupada is explaining, that how the Lord is has a very, very special position. In fact, all these 3 points are basically glories of the Lord, the creation, the generation of emanation of the living entities themselves, and the Supreme Lord Himself. All these are a glorification of the Supreme Lord. But it is very difficult to actually appreciate this knowledge wholeheartedly while we are living in this world, in the material world, in the material body. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that janma karma chame devyam. Yesterday we were hearing Srila Prabhupada while tracing the details. He was saying, Lord does not say janma karma chame devyam. He does not speak about his death. He is speaking about his birth and his activities. Normally when you say somebody, you describe somebody, you say how he was born and what glorious activity he did and how he died. Normally that is how we describe a person, Hitler or somebody, while narrating his life. But Lord says about his birth, about his activities, there is no question of death. Because Supreme Lord himself does not take birth like all of us. Janma karma chame divyam. His birth and activities are transcendental, not like any of us. Therefore, he does not take birth like us, therefore he does not die. Jatase dhruvar murtyu, it is explained in Gita. That one who takes birth is sure to die. But Lord does not take birth like us, so therefore there is no question of death. So these are the difficult concept. It is beyond our perception, therefore very difficult to appreciate. For example, Srila Prabhupada is explaining this in this particular purport. Prabhupada is explaining one Upanishad actually, Parasya Shakti Vivedeva Shruyate. The verse, Prabhupada also gives this verse in third chapter of Gita. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natat samas cha avidhikas cha drishyate. Parasya saktir vividaiva sruyate svabhavike jnana bala kriya cha. The translation is, the Supreme Lord is the controller of all other controllers and is the greatest of all diverse planetary leaders. Everyone is under his control. All entities are delegated with particular power only by the Supreme Lord. They are not supreme themselves. He is also worshipable by demigods, all demigods, and is the supreme director of all directors. Therefore, he is transcendental to all kinds of material leaders and controllers and is worshipable by all. There is no one greater than him, and he is the supreme causes of all causes. He does not possess body form like that of an ordinary living entity. There is no difference between his body and his soul. He is absolute. All his senses are transcendental. Any one of his senses can perform the action of any other sense. Therefore, no one is greater than him or equal to him. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. So this is Satasvatar Upanishads, chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. So when we read these verses and hear about it, it's very, very bewildering. First of all, the Lord is supreme controller. Nobody is equal to him. Nobody is greater than him. So when we hear all these things, it is difficult to appreciate, accept, basically. It's difficult to accept. How can such a thing? All his senses can perform the activities of interchange. Activities can be interchanged among the senses. So, like he says, all his activities are done natural sequence. So, avike gana bala kriya cha. Now, in this world, anybody, like jnana bala kriya, three things are mentioned. Jnana means to knowledge, to have knowledge. To acquire knowledge, you have to endeavor. Without endeavoring, nobody can get any knowledge in this world. Therefore, we have courses given by Gaurang Priya Prabhu, Bhagavatam, Bhakti Vaibhav. Without endeavor, it's difficult to gain knowledge. Bala, strength also, you have to go to gym or do yoga and all these things to get strength. Otherwise, you cannot get strength. Similarly, swabhavik jnana bala kriya, activities. Activities also, unless we put a proper effort, the activity will not yield the result. It will yield something contradictory result. So everything there has to be endeavor. But for Lord, it is swabhaviki, naturally, automatically. He doesn't have to endeavor, automatic. He just thinks and things happen as a natural sequence. For him, it is very natural, ordinary, simple, anything. So, it is very difficult to understand these points. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one point, it is mentioned during Ratha Yatra. This point is explained how things happen naturally for the Lord. It is explained that Lord was dancing in this Ratha Yatra party, then he expanded himself. in various groups, in seven groups, and he was dancing at all the places. And he was so much absorbed in the dancing that he forgot about himself and what is happening. But his potencies created things in such a way that although he was not aware, but things were happening naturally, without any disturbance. Prabhupada explains this in the purport. In fact, all the activities of material nature are actually performed by the inconceivable energies of the Lord. All the activities, not just his internal potencies, all the activities. Then he says, but these so-called scientists and students of material nature are unable to understand ultimately how things are happening. How things are happening? A scholar, scientist in this world, he can observe things are happening. But how actually it is happening exactly is very difficult. He's just observing. But how things are happening? Observing just consequences. But how it actually starts, that is very difficult to understand. So they evasively conclude that everything is being done by nature. Everything is done by nature. But they do not know that behind nature is the potent Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. That Krishna says in Gita, Maya Dakshana Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetu Nanana Kunte Jagat Viparivartate. That everything is act under my guidance, direction. So Prabhupada also explains in purport to this particular verse. He says that how God could do all these things, or that we are working because we need some result. We are endeavoring because we need some result. But God has everything in Himself. Therefore, when He wants to do something, because everything is there in Himself, it happens automatically. Because whatever we do or we want, we have to endeavor to acquire it. Like Gaurang Prabhu was telling the other day, how the difference between karma and lila. Krishna says, my karma is transcendental. Janma karma chame dibhyam. Our activities is that we act to gain something. That is endeavor, chesta. Because it is not with me. I have to acquire it, therefore I am working. But in Lord, everything is already there, so He doesn't have to work. Lord has everything in Himself. Therefore, whatever He does, just to increase His pleasure. Therefore, it is called Leela. So therefore, these concepts of the Lord is very difficult to know or truly appreciate. Truly one appreciate. Like in one Bhagavatam verse, it is explained that He does not have to endeavor for His maintenance, the Lord. Why? Because He is the master of all mystic powers and the proprietor of everything. He is the master of all mystic power. Like if somebody is a mystic, if he needs to eat something, he doesn't have to go to the restaurant. He just, prapti, siddhi. He just gets it. Some pizza is cooked in Govinda, he just right from the oven. So mystic. So Lord is proprietor of all mystic power. Why does He have to work? He just simply can enjoy Himself. So in this way, it is explained that Lord is very, very self-sufficient, completely. So, also in Gita, Lord explains that it is very difficult to know Him, appreciate Him. He says, Manushyanam sahasresu kaschid eti siddhe, yatadam api siddhanam kaschin veti mam tattvata. That although there are many human beings, millions of them are there, Manushyanam, not other species, it doesn't speak about animal species. 8.4 million, just 4 million is considering, or 80, how many human species? 4 million. So, rest is just neglected, it is rejected. Of course, in any species like Gajendra could revive his Krishna consciousness. But among all these human beings, very few are interested in knowing about spirituality. Prabhupada explains, because of addiction to eating, sleeping, mating and defending, people are not interested in spiritual life. Then among very few who wants to become, wants to know about self, why there is suffering, why you are suffering. Among them, very few get success. Again, because of overpowered by desire to enjoy this world. One gives up the process. But among those who become successful in knowing that they are the, not the body, their spirit, soul, among them hardly one knows me. It doesn't say few. This is hardly anyone knows me. So to know Krishna, to appreciate him is so difficult in one sense. Krishna himself says. One may say, why is it like that? Why does God not let everybody know him? It's not like that. In one sense, Prabhupada explains, all this person who acquire siddhi or perfection, they're basically yogis or jnanis. One who knows about Brahman, one who knows about the supreme super soul, Paramatma aspect. So in one sense, why they're not able to know, why an ordinary man is not able to know Krishna? Because of his desire to enjoy sense gratification. Lost anger, greed, envy, pride, and attachment. These are the things, six things. So therefore, because of these anarthas, a person is not able to see himself, first of all, not to speak of see the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada explains very nice moral analogy, that is, just like a water is always pure, but when water is mixed with mud, the muddy water, then we cannot see the water. For example, if you say the water itself is living entity, just to understand this point, and when the mud goes into it, the water, even if there is pure water, the water inside the muddy water cannot see that pure water outside. So the Supreme Lord sometimes comes and stands in front of the living entity, but because of attachment, because of mixing with this mud or dirt of anarthas, one will not be able to see the Lord. So therefore the whole process of spirituality is to purify oneself, purification. So some people do purification by performing tapasya, like yogis do, a lot of tapasya. Some do it by trying to acquire knowledge, by studying scriptures. Jnanis do that. And through those austerities, they purify themselves and they can see to the extent of themselves or the super soul. But to see the Supreme Lord, it is very difficult because these anartha, that is, they may not go completely unless, even if one becomes a yogi or jnani, perfected. Because that envy little bit remains. Because if these things are there, it is very difficult to appreciate the Supreme Lord as he is. This anarthas cover, like recently I was reading Ramayana because I went to Nasik. So Ramayana, it is very nicely explained. One pastime where Suparnakha actually is, you know, ranging in this forest of Tapovan, looking for ascetic to eat them. That is her food, the sadhus. Nowadays we see people are eating so many things, but these are kind of demons. They wanted. So she saw the footsteps of Lord Ramchandra. And he started chasing those footsteps till he reached the hermitage of Lord Ram. Where there Lord Ramchandra was sitting with Sita Devi and Lakshmana was doing some activity, chopping the woods for firewood. And as soon as he saw Lord Ram, he was so beautiful. It's Gandharpa Koti Kamaniyam Visheshasoham. So beautiful that she thought, instead of eating, I will embrace him. She became lusty. So because of that lust, she could not see the Supreme Lord as he is. So then she approaches, and we know this pastime. She is proposing to Lord Ramchandra, and he is joking with her. No, no. Some say that she forgot to change her form. In some version, she came as a Rakshasi only with fierce form. Some say she changed her form. They're beautiful. So Lord Ram was joking with them. They're so beautiful. What is your introduction? She asked Ramchandra, what is your introduction? Lord Ram is so simple. He's telling, I am son of Dasharath, and because of such and such thing, I have to come to forest. And this is my wife Sita, and this is my brother Lakshman. Now tell me who you are. And she is telling, I am Suparnakha. I am a Rakshasi. Now she is thinking in her mind that if I tell that I am Rakshasi, out of fear probably he would agree to marry me. Therefore she is openly speaking that she is a Rakshasi, a demoness. But Ramchandra was surprised. In such a beautiful form she has come, but she is telling she is a Rakshasi. So she was a little surprised, looked at the Lakshman in surprise. And then they started joking with her. She thinks he is an ordinary man, and he knows who is he, and therefore he is joking with her. And he sends him to Lakshman, Lakshman sends him back to Ram, and like that it happens. Then she attacks Sita. At that point Lord Ram says, it is not good to have fun with those who are very envious, who are very furious or notorious. So just punish her, cut her nose. So Lakshman immediately carries out the instruction. And when she was approaching to Sita, Lord Ram simply shouted at her, stay back or something like that. And that sound vibration was so much powerful, she fell back 3 feet or 5 feet. Still she didn't understand who is this person. Then Lakshman Cotton was profusely bleeding, went to Khara and Dushan, her brother of Ravana also. She explained everything, what happened. Then he became very furious, out of pride. Because he thought he is the most powerful person. He said, do not worry, Suparnakha, because I will send men and they will kill these people and you can enjoy their blood and flesh, all these things, he says. Then he sends 14 big Rakshasas. Their sizes were double than Lord Ramchandra. And they are carrying all fierce weapons like maces and swords, all kind of things. Spiked gada. All these things they are carrying. And they approached. They again entered that kutir of Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra saw them, immediately understood. And he thought inside his mind, I was looking for such an opportunity. When I will encounter these people and kill them. They were not only approaching, now they are approaching. Immediately he said, Lakshman, you take care of Sita. And in swift movement, he just goes and strings his bow. And these 14 Rakshas, they started laughing at Lord Ram because they thought, we are so big and he is such a small person, what can he do? But with 14 arrows, he breaks their weapons and another 14 arrows kills them. Instantly. It happened so swiftly, Suparnakha could not understand what is happening. So she went back to Khara and Dushan, and she thought, this man is so powerful, probably Khara and Dushan cannot match them. And now she is describing to Khara and Dushan, when she was describing, she was telling the very, very same words, that he is not a man, he is not a woman. He is not a demigod, neither he is a Rakshasa. So indirectly she is understanding that this person is not like any of us. She understood it. Not a man, not a demigod, neither he is a Rakshasa. All these 814 species he does not belong to. Completely different. Yet, you are boasting yourself so much as a big warrior, why don't you go and fight with him and avenge my insult to me and to your warriors. 14 of them were killed. Then after hearing this, Khar also thinking because of his pride, although he heard how these 14 of big people who could never be defeated by any human, thousands of them, was killed by one of them. So the knowledge was given to him that this person is different. But because of his pride, he thought, so what? I can defeat him. I can easily defeat him. I have defeated Indra and I have repelled death personified. So what will this man do? After hearing also, that pride does not allow him to understand the Supreme Lord. So these coverings lost, like Shuparnakha, pride in this case, Khar, and even Ravana because of lust and pride both. Very difficult to appreciate. Therefore, this Anarthas has to go. In fact, he comes with his 14,000 soldiers just to kill one person. That means he was little fearful. He knew something is wrong here. So therefore, he brought all of the army. And how Lord Ram killed them, they were coming with chariots drawn by horses, tigers, lions and elephants. They're coming in so many different ways. But Lord Ramchandra was simply standing on earth. He was standing on earth and he was shooting these arrows. Nobody could say when he's stringing his bow with the arrow and when it is releasing it. And they're going so swift. Sometimes it would hit 12 persons before falling down. But one after other, 12. Sometimes 1,000. So there is no limit. 12 doesn't mean that is his strength. Sometimes it would go beyond 1,000. Sometimes it would seek the target. Sometimes this target would go hiding somewhere. The arrow will seek it out and kill it. So that was his power. Tremendous. So he was simply releasing because his Supreme Lord, Svabhaviki Jnana Vala Kriyacha, all his strength, power, activities were happening just to increase his pleasure. And he created all these species of Rakshasas so that they can enjoy the fighting. So in this way, he was fighting and killing them one by one by one. Then Shupanaka was one of them actually, his name is Akampana, he escaped that war. And he went and told Ravana about Lord Ramchandra. Again he was saying, you cannot defeat him. Then he gives the idea to kidnap Sita. Then Shupanaka again strengthens that idea later by alluring him through lust. And in this way, we see these Anarthas will never allow a person to see the Supreme Lord. Up to the extent, even if one is Brahman realized, because of little envy, that how can one man do so many things? Because he is not man. He is not an ordinary man. Similarly, we see in Lord Krishna's pastimes, so many activities he does. Lifting Govardhan, all these activities, not humanly, superhumanly. So unless one becomes a... then question is, who can understand? Of course, the scripture says, Krishna says, if you want to know me in tattva, what is that? Janma karma chama devyam, evam vakti tattva, tattva dayam punarjanma. Tattva, you have to know him in tattva. If you know his activities and his personality in tattva, then there is no question of rebirth. Otherwise, all other yogis' gyan is also a chance to fall down, Bhagavatam explains. Who can understand in tattva? So Lord Krishna explains in Gita again that you have to approach your spiritual master. If you want to know in tattva, says tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnana sevaya apadakshinitaya jnanam jnaninam tattva darshanam. Because they have seen the tattva, the pure devotees. Therefore, if we approach and get trained under them, then there is a good chance for one to become a devotee of the Lord. Krishna says, only devotees knows me. There is a verse, Bhaktya mama bijananti yavanyas chasmi tattvato tato mam tattvato jnatva visate tad anantaram. This is the verse in Gita. Bhakti amam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tattvata. In truth, in actually substance they know. Therefore, when devotee discuss Lord's pastime, they release it. Whereas those who are sense gratifier, they get bewildered. How could it happen like that? They doubt. They raise so many questions. But devotees, because of their devotional service attitude, surrender. They understand the Lord reveals his identity. Therefore, devotee, because they are not envious, therefore they release the Lord's pastime. So again, the purification is by through devotional service. Any other process cannot let us appreciate the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a chance of fall down always. In Brahma Samhita, it is said, Vedesu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. That even if one studies the whole Vedas, become very, very scholarly, jnani, one cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Vedesu durlabham, very, very durlabh. Adurlabham atma bhakto. Krishna says, Samhatma sudurlabha in Gita. That one who knows me, such a soul, bhonam janmana mante jnanamanma prapadyante vasudeva sarvante samhatma sudurlabha. Such a mahatma is very, very rare. Whereas, even if one studies the whole Vedas, for him to find Lord is durlabha. Adurlabham atma bhakto. But those who are his own devotees, for them to know Lord is very easy. So therefore, one has to take the process of Krishna consciousness very seriously and practice it so that all these tattva, the truths, will be revealed and one can understand and appreciate and in that way enjoy the spiritual path. Suparnakha, once she was trying to win over Ram, she was deriding Sita, saying she is ugly and all these things. Actually, she was ugly. So she was seeing that in others. But when she went to Ravana, she described Sita as a very, very beautiful person. Again, misunderstanding her position. Like all the great devotees, pure devotees, they worship Mother Sita. They glorify her. They worship the lotus feet. Whereas an ordinary person, because of the covering of lust, anger, pride, all these things, they see her in a different way. So therefore we see how even Suparnakha was unable to appreciate Sita because of these things. So did Ravana. And therefore they mistook them in a wrong way and the whole episode happens. But in the meantime, Lord enjoys killing so many rakshasas. So did his devotees like Hanuman. And all other devotees, they started killing all these, smashing all these rakshasas one after other. So, that is all I have to say. So this is the two things. One is material world, where we are entangled because of all these anarthas. And second is the spiritual potency of the Lord and this Lord Himself. And when he says, those who are envious of me, they do not know me. They think I am a mere human. Abhajananti maam mooda. Manushyam tanum asrita. They think like I am a mere human, but actually I am not human. He is not man, he is not woman, he is not animal, he is not demigod or demon. He is the Supreme Lord. Therefore Gajendra is praying him, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can only help him to come out of this material entanglement. So thank you very much. Are there any comments? Question? Any question? Jaisal Prabhupada ki Tegar Pemanande Hari. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.